Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and refuge. Speak to us now your words of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For Advent this year, we're going to look at the Christmas story through the eyes of the people who witnessed it firsthand. So we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of Mary, which you maybe already got a hint of in our Advent candle lighting this morning. Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. As I thought about this story, I realized that God asks each person in this story to do an incredibly difficult and challenging thing. And in each case, the answer is always the same. Yes. They say yes because somehow they believe that God is going to make everything okay in the end. It's a big thing, an incredible thing, a difficult thing God is asking them to do. And they say yes. So each Sunday, we're going to hear a little reflection from each of these people in the story. And they're going to kind of tell us what was going through their heads when God was asking them to do this difficult thing. So I want to tell you, I can't take any of the credit for what you're about to hear because these are monologues that were written by a pastor named Matthew Kelly, and you're going to hear them read by friends of mine because I think you have to listen to my voice all the time, so it might be nice to hear somebody else's voice every once in a while. So this week we're going to hear from Mary, who is the young girl that God chose to be the mother of his son, Jesus. So imagine what that very first Christmas must have been like through Mary's eyes.
It all started that night when the angel showed up. He was telling me how much God loved me and how I was going to be blessed. Then he said that I would become pregnant before Joseph and I got married. To be honest, I'm still not sure how being an unwed teenage mother in a small town where gossip spreads like wildfire is a blessing from God. When people found out, it was horrible. My father wouldn't even look me in the eye for weeks. When I would walk down the street, I would hear the whispers, "Look at that girl. She comes from such a great family, too, and this is how she repays them? And poor Joseph, such a good man. He doesn't deserve something like this. God will judge her." I was sure my life was over when Joseph came to see me. I thought he was going to tell me that our engagement was off. But instead, he said the angel had visited him, too, and that he knew God was doing something great. I could tell from his voice that he wasn't sure he believed what he was saying. But then again, I wasn't sure I believed it either. When my belly was so big, I thought I would burst at any moment. Joseph told me we would have to travel to a faraway town for the census. As we made the journey, I began to feel the pains. At first, I wasn't sure if it was contractions or just that the donkey wasn't very steady on its feet, but sure enough, when we got to Bethlehem, my water broke. None of the houses had any room for us, even though I was clearly in labor. One man said he'd do us a favor by letting us stay in his stable. Some favor. I didn't want my baby to be born on a cold, wet floor surrounded by filthy animals. Still, it was better than nothing. After he was born, I was holding him, trying to rock him to sleep, and I started crying. There I was, in a town where we knew no one, with a baby that people at home knew wasn't Joseph's. I'm so young, I thought. I can barely take care of myself. How can I take care of a baby? Just when I thought God had abandoned me, I looked down at my son. He was staring up into my eyes with a calm that I'd never seen in anyone before. It was as if this little infant was saying, "It's okay, Mommy. God will somehow make this all work out. And somehow, deep down, I knew it was true. Somehow, God would make it all work out.
I believe that God has a special task or a mission for each one of us. And I believe that God has gifted each believer with a unique combination of gifts and experiences and personality traits that are unlike anyone else's. And I believe that he calls each one of us to use these gifts for his purpose. And his purpose for Mary, as you just heard in her reflection, happens to overlap with asking her to do this incredibly difficult thing, to be the mother of God, to be the mother of his only begotten son, Jesus. And it's a task that only she and no one else can fulfill because of the unique gifts and talents that God has given to her. Now, if you know the story of Mary and how she gets the news from the angel, it's not really surprising that her first instinct when the angel tells her that she's going to become pregnant before she and Joseph are officially married, she panics, right? She panics a little bit. She panics at the thought of what her family will say and what Joseph will say and what her neighbors will say, and she maybe even panics when she starts to think about what her life is going to be like from now on if she says yes to this incredible thing that God is asking her to do. She has to wonder. She's got this story. The angel came to her and said this is what's going to happen and this is who the baby is, but is anyone going to believe her when she tells them the story? And what does it mean to be the mother of Jesus? What is required for that? How could she must have wondered, possibly be worthy of an honor like this? So if Mary was anything like me, whenever she has a decision to make, she'd make it a pro and a con list, right? And as I read through Mary's story, there's an awful lot of cons on that list. A lot of questions, a lot of uncertainties, a lot of fears, and a lot of anxieties. And certainly being obedient to God is a good thing to put in the pro column. And I'm not sure Mary has too many other pros to add in this situation. So in the face of this incredibly difficult thing that God is asking Mary to do, and while looking at this very lopsided pro and con list, she decides to tip the scales instead in God's favor. And she chooses hope. So as you think about the Christmas story through Mary's eyes, you might be asking yourself a few questions. Like, how could this young girl, who's probably scared out of her mind, possibly decide to choose hope? Ugh. When it seemed like choosing the opposite would be so much easier. How in the world could she say yes to this incredibly difficult thing God was asking her to do? Where did her hope come from? And friends, I guess if I was going to make up a definition for hope, this is what I would say. Hope, it's all about remembering what God has done in the past. And in this present moment, trusting that he will do it again in the future. Do you know what I mean? Remembering what God has done in the past, and in this present moment when you have to decide, trusting that he will continue to be faithful in the future. So Mary must have remembered all of God's promises to his people, all those promises that were spoken probably long before she was even born. And she must have remembered the words of the prophet Jeremiah, which she probably heard as she went to temple and worshiped God there. Jeremiah spoke God's message to his people from chapter 33. It's written on the back of your bulletin if you would like to read along. Jeremiah says this: "The days are coming, surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the purposes I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. So she remembered those promises that she had heard, that God had made from a long time ago. And she remembers that God is always faithful to his promises. And so in that moment when God is asking her to say yes, she trusts that he's going to continue to keep his promises even into the future. And in her case, she knows that it will be through her yes that God is going to fulfill these promises, that one day his son will be born to do what is just and what is right in the land. And she knows that through her yes, here and now, he will save Judah, and Jerusalem will live in safety. So through Mary's yes, right now, God fulfills his promises that he made a long time ago, and he fulfills them in the future. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves during this time of Advent, during this time of preparation and waiting and anticipating for when Christ will come again, and as we start to ponder, what is my purpose? What does God have in mind for me? We have to ask this question. How can we, like Mary, choose hope when God asks us to do a difficult thing? How can we say yes to God like Mary did? So I thought that's why it would be helpful to look at Mary's story, because I think we can see that it all starts with remembering the past and remembering all the ways that God has been faithful and has provided for his people. And it means thinking back to the time of Abraham and Moses and Ruth and Esther and how God kept his promises to all of those people. But it occurs to me the only way we can remember all those stories is if we are reading the Bible every day. And I don't know if it's your habit to read the Bible every day or not, or if you're kind of like me and you read it for a while and then you kind of get a little off track and need a little encouragement to get back on track. Advent is a great time to get back on track with reading the Bible, because that's how we learn about and how we remember all of God's promises to us, as well as remembering in our own lives what God has done for us. So if you turn very quickly to the second little half sheet that you have in your bulletins this morning, you'll see that it's an insert about daily devotionals. And I just wanted to encourage you that if you're maybe looking for a way to sort of count down the days toward Christmas, or maybe make Christmas a little bit more holy, maybe make a little bit more room to welcome Jesus into your lives, as we talked about in the call to worship this morning, I tried to come up with a variety of options for you this morning. So if you are a paper person, if you want to have the feel of the paper and the ink in your hand, I have a printed out devotional that will take you all the way up through Christmas, and that is sitting on the back by the guest stand in the back, and you are welcome to take one of those with you. I actually have more copies that I just didn't quite get stapled yet, so if we run out, I have more ready to go. If you are someone who's comfortable using the internet, I have a couple of suggestions for that, and you can see those listed there. BibleGateway.com has a bunch of devotionals, and all you have to do is you can subscribe, and they will send it right to your inbox, so you don't even have to go looking for it. It will come to you. If you are looking for something for children, you can use the Wandering Wise Men, which I was talking about with the kids with earlier. And there are also two others that are actually a free PDF download, and it's all one booklet with step-by-step directions of how you can gather your whole family sort of around the table and talk about what it means to wait for Jesus to be born. And then if you are a smartphone person, and if, you know, there's always an app for everything. So if you would like to use something using your phone, I think what I'm going to do is the Insta-Advent Photo Challenge by a group named Busted Halo. And then if you are familiar with YouVersion, which is a little Bible app, and they have a bunch of reading plans there that are 3 days, 5 days, take you the rest of the way through Christmas. So those are just some of my suggestions for you. Because for us to remember the promises that God has made, we have to know what they are. We have to be in his word. And we have to be able to see how God can maybe even use us to keep some of those promises in the future. So I started out this morning by saying I think that God has a unique purpose for each one of us. And we got to figure out what that purpose is. And I have to warn you that chances are pretty good that part of his purpose for you will be for you to do something difficult and something challenging at one time or another. So when you start to see that happening in your lives, when you start to get a sense of what your purpose is, and when you start to see what that difficult thing may be, you may panic a little bit, like Mary did when the angel first brought her the message from God. But friends, hope is a powerful, powerful thing. And when we can remember the promises that God has made in the past and how he has kept them, we can trust that he will continue to keep those promises even into the future. And he will keep those promises to us. Even when it's incredibly difficult, even when it feels almost impossible, God can use our yes to do incredible things and to build up the kingdom of heaven in this world. All we have to do, he does the hard part. All we have to do is to choose hope and take those scales that are kind of tipping away from God and tip them in his favor instead. So like Mary said at the end of her story to us today, somehow God will make everything work out. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.